Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Texter says, Dolly was a victim of fake news, eh? But of course. But I suppose it's one of those things that people are slightly icky about, the whole idea of cloning. Kira says, Dolly, it seems like the stuff of science fiction. When she was cloned, it seems like nothing now. How unimpressed we are these days. And going back to the piece we did about Britain First at the start of the show, Michael says, yes, free speech allows people of any influence to organise with like-minded people, but where do we draw the line? I agree it's hard to decide what's in the national interest, but some groups are more obviously aggressive in their approach than others, it has to be said. Britain First being a strong example. Well, indeed, but it is, though, it's very difficult to say, you know, because say if you were to discuss... if you're to discuss immigration, I mean, and there are still hundreds of thousands of people trying to get into Europe from, you know, across the Mediterranean, risking their own lives to do so. And so it's completely legitimate to say to discuss immigration and how are we going to deal with that immigration and what limits do we set on that immigration, et cetera, without necessarily having to be a racist about it. But Britain First are racists. They want a Christian Britain, which means a white Britain. They have some sort of idea of some mythic past where everyone was dancing at the crossroads and everybody was happy. And so that's far more sinister, that is. But at the same time, these things often get muddled up and then people starting to accuse of each other incorrectly often of all sorts of things. Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Farming apps.
Yeah, you see, people think of farming and, okay, they know there's great high-tech tractors that nearly talk to you and you don't have to hardly get up on them anymore to drive them because they're all GPS and everything like that and they can exactly turn in the field if you're spraying crops or sowing crops or particularly, the real big contractor tractors. But technology is beginning to take a hold. And there was a big event, I think, in Germany in the last week, which was looking at, you know, farm tech, agri-tech. And especially with the cost of labour, anything that's kind of helping farmers do stuff that they used to have to spend a lot of time at is something that's very useful or calculate. So one of them, of course, buying and selling is a big one. And there's an app called Tractor House. And if you're, it's dead useful if you're buying or selling a tractor. And it's thousands of listings. You can find the exact makes and models you're looking for. You can get them by location. You can get them, you know, it is just basically an app for tractors. Mm. And, you know, there's people who spend their lives buying tractor magazines, looking at tractors, talking about tractors. This is exactly the kind of thing that they would absolutely love. The other one is Weeds. Now, there's loads of youngsters at the moment doing their projects for Ag Science for the Leaving Cert. And there's a whole weed category in it where you have to pick them and select them. But anyway, if you're not sure from your dandelions from your docks, there's a thing called Weed ID. And it's based on an encyclopedia of all these different weeds. And there's something like 140 of them covered in it. So it'll tell you exactly all about it. But if you're looking at this and you're trying to see, now, I don't know exactly how it works. You know, do you have to flick through all 140 and say, yes, that's the yoke I'm looking at?
Does it matter what kind of a weed is a weed, really?
Yeah. Well, again, the treatment of it is different if you, okay, you know. Yeah. But then remember what they call a weed is just a flower in the wrong place. I mean,
good point.
There's some apps. Like daisies are weeds and they're absolutely gorgeous. Dandelions have a purpose as well. Calving calculator, again, takes the guesswork out of it. You know, you might think you're going to have the cows calving, but feed in the information and it'll tell you the exact calving date and it'll also tell you about when the calf should be weaned. So there are a lot of them to do with helping you to plan. One good one is a thing called Fence Detective. Electric fences are the bane of anybody's life. Did you ever get stung by electric fence?
Oh, God, yeah, many is the time.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was a young fella. Yeah.
What were you doing in the field when you were a young fella?
It's just in where I grew up, you'd cross a few, you'd take a kind of a shortcut through the town, there were fields there, but there was electric fences. And, you know, you'd kind of, you used to do... Like, you'd brush your arm against an electric fence and you'd punch the fella next to you thinking he'd hit you.
Yeah, well, there's not, I mean, a dash of an electric fence, and especially when people, you know, it's not maybe too high and they think they're going to jump over it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this one, instead of like putting out the blade of grass and seeing if it's on and getting the sting up your arm. I mean, you know, they're not nice now, getting the belt of an electric fence. Anyway, this app can be used to test the fence, and it comes from New Zealand, and it's downloadable. It's free. It's called Fence Detective, but there's an antennae on it which helps locate the strength of the fence. Makes it much faster, and I think that costs about €7. So, Fence Detective, that's another one.
Would electric fences have different intensities? Can you kind of set it?
Yes, you can. Like, if you have a bunch of calves in a field, they're not going to be too interested in going away, and they just want a little tap. But you can actually up the power of an electric fence. So if you've got a big field of bullocks or a field of bulls or something like that, you can.
They wouldn't
feel it if it was too light. So yeah, you can do that. And
are there regulations about having to have signs up saying this is an electric fence?
No, but I think to be aware of it, especially where children are around, you know, if there is an electric fence going. Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing, the thing that I always know about an electric fence is tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Which means that it's earthing somewhere.
Yeah.
And all the power is going into the ground and finding exactly where that is. But when I was doing a lot of farming now, you know, the electric fence used I'd turn it off, and it was the only way I'd go to the mains and turn it off, and it was the only way I knew I was safe in a field.
Yeah.
Because you can end up having to go any direction. But this, it takes the guesswork out of it. I mean, there's hard shaws out there, and there's nothing to like better than catching the electric fence and going through it. Yeah, and showing off. But, you know, I don't know whether it's the equivalent of a defibrillator when you get a belt out of it.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. If it's good for you or bad for you.
Yeah, no, it possibly might be.
I don't really want to find out.
I don't know, no. But anyway, that's a little one as well, Fence Detective. But there's a whole load more, like things that can calculate exactly how much fertiliser you need to be putting out. Grass to milk, you know, how much feed you should be giving your animals, condition scoring of cows. Now, you might say, what condition scoring? Well, you know, my husband often catches me, you know, you know, at the back of my skeleton kind of thing, or the back of my spine, and he lifts a bit of flesh and he says, that's good cover there.
Yeah. okay.
In animals, you know, you have to have a kind of a condition scoring, because if animals are too heavy, they won't go in calf or in lamb.
Right.
And if they're not fat enough, or they haven't got condition on them, you know, so you kind of say 1 to 5 fat score, and 5 is too fat, but 1 and 2 is too skinny either.
Mm.
So it doesn't work that way. So you know, there's a couple of pressure points on an animal. And I know I'm speaking very bovine-y here, but there's a couple of pressure points, and you can guess whether an animal needs to be fed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's the same with lambs in a shed or any sort of livestock. You just condition score them, so you know by the cover that's over certain bones whether the animal is nicely fleshed or whether they're over fat or whether they're too thin.
Mm.
So,
right.
So yeah, that's there's a whole pile of those apps, and
this is kind of sounds like it's big business.
It's really becoming it, yeah. And you know, broadband in Ireland, you know, was absolutely appalling and is still absolutely appalling in certain parts of the country, or in a lot of rural areas. But it's getting better, and where it's getting better, there's certainly a market coinciding, because there was no point in bringing out all of this stuff and having no broadband for particularly, you know, it's not going to be used. Fence testers aren't going to be kind of, you know, the rave down in Dundrum or somewhere like that. And there might be in Dundrum, Tipperary, but not in Dundrum, Dublin. So you needed to have good broadband to be able to access it and to be able to access the services.
Or even good coverage. Like, yeah. I mean, a good 3G or a 4G service. Well, and that's, yeah, that's still it. Spotty yeah. enough in, yeah. in
and
parts
an awful
of the country
lot of
too.
Farmers are getting really used now, and you know, we find like Facebook is big for us, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that. But, you know, apps, they're all, you know, the smartphone has been the game changer when it comes to all of this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And of course, like one of the other main apps that nobody can possibly do without is the Farmers Journal one.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's the most important one.
Yeah.
Right now, it's time to be doing things with your hedges.
Yeah, this is the time of the year. Do you know, like hedges, you walk, go around. Hedges have a whole pile of purposes. And, you know, I always get really cross when people start talking about the monoculture in Ireland and the no hedges. Jesus, all you've got to do is stand on any crossroads and all you can look at and you can't see the trees for the hedges. And if you take a train, like from Dublin down to Limerick, for instance, you're looking out and, you know, the size of the fields are actually really small. But hedges, they have a whole load of purposes. They're there, they're shelter. I mean, animals shelter with the hedge. They're wind breaks, so they can, you know, stop the wind coming straight through fields. And, you know, like there's nothing as parish looking as a couple of hundred acres without a hedge. I think it's awful looking. So it's there for shelter. It's there for biodiversity. You know, it provides shelter for loads of little animals and birds. And they're pretty. And they make that field landscape that we have that's so critically important. But hedges can also look like a skeleton with a mop of head, big unruly mush of hair on the top of it. You know, because you've got these stems growing up and, you know, they're overshadowed and there's no real life in them. And then you've got this mop of kind of thatch on the top of them. You know, you see it particularly with white thorn hedges all over the country. So part of the whole environmental schemes that farmers are involved with now are about making hedges better. Stone walls were really a big thing in the past, getting them all up in order. And you can see that if you go anywhere to the parts of the country where there are stone walls, you'll see an awful lot of them now in very, very good order. And so this, the current glass scheme is really promoting the whole idea of rejuvenating your hedges. And there's two main ways of doing it. One is coppicing and the other one is laying. So if you've ever thought about, what's laying a hedge? What's that kind of look like, or what happens? Well, it's about kind of taking deep cuts in the timber on a hedge right near the very base and bending it over.
Yeah.
And literally from those cuts in the timber, new shoots will emerge and that will actually totally thicken up the hedge. So you've got a hedge there now at the minute. So there's a whole load of rubbish and, you know, dirt growing up through it. And you need three things. One of the things about laying a hedge is that you're not supposed to use any heavy machinery. This is a hand job. This is a job, you know, if you're kind of, you know, the weather is not too bad and you've kind of got a day, you're stress free, out you go. And the satisfaction of clearing 30 or 40 yards and laying a hedge, it's the kind of a job that, you know, you look on, you'll see it every day that you go out into that field, you'll see it progressing. It's a kind of a job that, you know, it's a no stress day job, if you know what I mean. You know, it's not a, I have to do that job, it must be done by today, but it's a kind of job you can go at when you have a bit of leisure and do it. So one of the things you need a billhook, you need a small axe and you need a small chainsaw. They're the three things you need. And if you're using chainsaws, I dread when my husband goes out to use a chainsaw by himself. I keep an eye near out for it the whole time and I'll go down and check him. I always think people, if possible, should work with two people when there's a chainsaw involved, because, you know, there's a lot of accidents around chainsaws. But anyway, the real trick with the hedge is to, if there's any slope in the field, is to lay the hedge in the direction of the slope. So you use the billhook first and you get out about 60%, all the dirt, and about 60% of the hedge, you end up losing it. But that's to kind of keep it that, you know, it's not going to be overshadowed and the new shoots coming up will get plenty of light. One of the things they're also recommending is that you take off any old ivy off the hedge as well. Again, that covers up the new shoots and, you know, prevents the daylight getting in as well. But the objective of the exercise is, instead of having this skeleton of branches with this thatch of hair on the top of it, that these will all be laid down where the cut is about maybe three quarters way through the branch, and from that base right near the ground you've got all these new shoots going to come up, and that's going to totally thicken the hedge and put it back in order again the way it would have been when it started growing first.
Right, okay. That sounds like it's a lot of work though.
But it's a very satisfying work. Now, yeah. I mean, I'm a gardener. There's nothing I like better than cleaning a patch of weeds. I grew up loving. I mean, I don't do any spraying. I mean, I literally pull weeds. And I would get huge satisfaction now out of doing a job like that. And, you know, the neatness of it, the tidiness, clearing away all that rubbish and just giving life to something. Because, like, a lot of our hedges are on the go for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, they weren't planted in the last 10 years. They weren't planted in the last 100 years. I remember Shane Kavanagh on the Burren telling me, when Christopher Columbus was discovering America, farmers in Clare were building walls on the Burren.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah.
when Christ was born in Jerusalem or wherever, Bethlehem, farmers in the burn were laying stone walls or making stone walls. So it's the same principle with the hedges. There's an awful lot of history and story there attached to them. And this gives them a good chance of staying on.
June in Kildare says, we always had to shave the whiskers on horses with clippers. This is in relation to electric fences, because they were clever enough to test the wire with their whiskers and wouldn't get shocked. If the fence wasn't on, they went straight through for better grazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I mean, that'll tell you now, you know. But my son Nan did a summer's work in the zoo one year, and he was telling me, I think it was the monkeys, that they always kept testing the wire with grass. And, you know, he said they were very smart, you know, or it was the chimpanzees, you test the wire with that. But animals, they do know, you know, you have to kind of, like, you hear people saying, we put the electric fence full blast and they still got out. You know, you know, it's just something that has to be watched. But that's laying hedges. Again, it's an old skill. It's something that farmers haven't had much, you know, interest in doing. But there's a scheme there now to help with it, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of it.
Marie, thanks for coming in to us today.
Marie
Lavery there from the Farmers.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Journal back in a couple of minutes.